This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Hello and welcome to Leaning Left, a program which interviews left of centre people to give you another perspective on politics. I'm Bill Southworth. This week we interview two Otago University students who are members of the Green Party. Petra Campbell, who is co-convener of the Campus Greens, and Luke McLeod, who is a Campus Greens executive member. They'll be working hard to get the Green Party elected in November. Both are students, surprise, surprise, and they're majoring in ecology. Let's start with you, Petra. Would you like to give us a breakdown of how your weekly budget as a student is made up?
That's a really good question. So it's basically $170 on rent, about $100 on food because it's ridiculously expensive, and then I have to go to regular doctor's appointments too, about once a week, once every 2 weeks, which is about $30-ish. So that's all of my money gone before, so I don't get really any luxuries at all, so I'm chipping into my savings nearly constantly.
You particularly like then Labor's policy on three free visits a year to a doctor?
Yeah, no, that would be really awesome.
Now, the money you're spending doesn't sound a lot. What do you eat most of the time?
Well, I'm vegetarian, so my meals are actually relatively cheap. I live mostly off of vegetables and beans and tofu. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And Dunedin is a really cold place, as you'd know, coming as you do from Coromandel. How much do you spend on heating over the winter?
Probably a painful amount. We do have a fire, fortunately, so we invested in wood at the beginning of the year, but because it's a Dunedin house, it still stays cold in the morning and I have to turn it on so as I don't freeze from 5 o'clock in the morning.
And university fees, how much are you paying for your course?
Well, because I don't qualify for an allowance, because my parents, despite being divorced together, earn enough money that I don't qualify. So I've spent, I think, nearly $30,000, and I'm in my third year now.
And this third year, though, you'll still be getting the free fees for that year, will you?
Actually, in my year was the last year to qualify for the first year fees free.
Oh, you've had them already, yeah.
Yes.
And that was worth, what, about $10,000?
Yeah, it's up to $12K.
Right. And how much will you owe at the end of your career?
Probably a whole lot because I do plan on doing postgrad as well. So probably somewhere around 50K.
50K when you start work, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a daunting amount of money.
Right. And now you, Luke, how would you like to break down how you spend your weekly budget?
Oh, good. Good question. I just turned 24 earlier this year. I qualify for student allowance, which gives me a little bit extra money, thankfully. $179 of that goes to rent. I'd say about spend a similar amount to Petra, around $100 or so on food. Yes, it's pretty. I just try to budget wherever I can, especially when it comes to getting. Vegetables and fruit, that is pretty, they have gotten quite spendy, I'd say, over the last year or so. And there's also the monthly heating.
Let's just stay with the food for a moment. Oh, you know, okay. To most of us, spending $100 a week on food doesn't sound like much at all. Tell us about your daily diet, a bit more about it.
Oh, that's a good question. Not the best, unfortunately. Most of my meals are just whatever I can scavenge. It's mainly just the old classic student spag bowl or nachos, maybe some chicken, fry up some chicken, maybe some salt, bit of occasion than that. Other than that, that's really about it. I just maybe bring some fruit to uni while I do my work there. Other than that, not much else.
Well, at least one thing about it, you're not going to get fat on that diet, are you?
No, absolutely not.
And university fees, how much are you paying for your course?
Good question. I actually haven't checked that out in a bit. It's a bit daunting. I'm actually a bit terrified to open it up and just go, I actually couldn't tell you off the top of my head, I'm sorry.
And have you ever calculated when you finally finish your studies how much you might owe?
Not at the moment, yeah, but I have figured I'll probably be paying it to about maybe 65, 70.
Thousand?
Yeah, most likely.
That's a heck of a lot of money to start out to have to pay, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Now listen, the big political issue with students at the moment is the government's intention to remove, starting from next year, free university fees in the final year. Why should people who are not students care about that?
I don't know if you've heard of this thing called the workforce. We want one. We want people to have qualifications. And we also want people who aren't able to access those qualifications. Because right now there's the reason that they got rid of it was because they said it's only really benefiting people who are of a higher economic status, which is like, yeah, because you pushed it to the final year. So that first year isn't like that first year is already that hurdle's put back. And second of all, a single year fees free removes around 12 grand of up to, I think it's somewhere around 30 to 40K of debt on average.
Yes. And when Labor first introduced the thing, they anticipated over time that every year would be free fees.
Yeah. And that just didn't happen. They did a really sneaky thing, and I don't think it's not on purpose, where they said, okay, so we'll move it to the last year. And now there's
when the they is the
this is the national
coalition. Yeah.
National coalition. I think it was only last year that they did this, or maybe the year before. I think, yeah. And then they got rid of it, so now there's this entire year of people who are not going to be paying fees. And I think I calculated it the other day that they'll be saving across the country in a single year somewhere around $5 billion. Yeah,
it's a lot of money, isn't it? What do you think of the argument that paying the fees for university students makes a great deal of sense for an economy because it's training highly skilled people who are going to have inputs into that economy, and also it's good socially to have well-educated people. What do you think of that argument?
I think that's the perfect argument. I think on top of that, the issue that they brought up of people who are in a socioeconomic deficit not benefiting from it, if the whole university was fees-free, then they 1,000% would.
Luke, they had a big demonstration here, the students, on Budget Day, complaining about those fees. Do you think that was a good idea?
Absolutely. I think it was a great idea. I think it's a perfect idea to let the government know how students are feeling about it and really just what we want. There are a lot of people saying, oh, you should just pay for it yourself, work it off. Well, the thing is, back for a lot of these people, university fees are only about like 250 bucks, I think, was around that pass when they first brought them fees back in the late 80s, early 90s, I think it was around that. And yeah, and it's just like, well, you had to pay around 250 back then. We have to pay, 15-30 grand for some students, I've seen. And go back even further, for a time, university was free for everyone.
Yes, I remember when I went to university, there were no fees at all. And I think morally it's very, very bad for a generation of politicians who didn't have to pay fees, forcing young people to now pay them. Do you agree with that argument?
Absolutely agree. I think it's extremely hypocritical that these people who didn't have to go through – exactly what you said – didn't have to go through the strife and probably the dreaded thought of how they're going to have to repay off all this money, now saying, well, actually, you guys are going to have to be – you guys handle this? You guys are sweet. Nah, you'll be fine.
Of course, Winston Peters, who leaked the budget information about the removal of free fees, says some of the money saved will be spent on polytech students doing training, including those who've left high school without a qualification. Isn't that a good thing?
Well, this is a good thing, but also polytech students are also doing bachelor's degrees, and their fees free was covered. There's also the idea that people who are doing trades, which is what they wanted to put the money into. I was just reading the budget now. So they're putting the money supposedly into funding trade, increasing the number of trade schools and areas where you can get your qualifications, and also increasing funding into taking people out of school and into the trades. That is very good because we do need people who are unable to finish high school to be in work. But it's not going to cost the $5 billion or the massive, massive, massive amount of money that they're saving to do that. They could have done that by not allocating, I think it was $1.1 billion extra into the Defence and Corrections.
Yep. I used to teach journalism in the polytechnics, and what I really liked about it was that those people doing a one-year course would have their fees completely covered. And quite often with some of those trades, you do have a first year doing theory. So what Winston Peters is introducing is really nothing new, is it?
No, technically not. But at the same time, I do know that it can be quite difficult to get into trades straight out of school. There are some programs, like bridging programs especially, but a lot of the time taking on younger students is a very rough environment, and I think helping them along a little bit would be fantastic, but to this extent, I don't think so.
Of course, when the Labor Coalition government introduced free fees for the first year, it expected that it would encourage working-class kids to undertake tertiary training, but according to their surveys, that hasn't happened.
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
Well, the idea was that kids from low socioeconomic groups who might find the fees difficult, Labor introduced them for that reason. But the uptake apparently from people in that category hasn't been very great.
Yeah. And I think I was just talking about this before, but basically you can't expect people to get their first year fees free or their last year fees free and suddenly make that accessible to people. You need to start from the school system as well. So funding the school system in a way that doesn't just help people who didn't graduate, but helps people to graduate with their full qualifications so that they can go into university. Another brief thing that I would like to touch on is they're removing NCA. And they haven't really told
NCA, us. NCA, those are the qualifications currently studied for at high school.
Exactly. And so they haven't really told us what qualifications you will need to get into university. And there's been talk about the fact that you might have to apply to universities, which is then a whole shift of the system, which could make it even more inaccessible.
Yes, and that's a situation they have in the United Kingdom, and certainly they have it in the United States. It doesn't seem particularly fair, does it?
No, it's definitely not fair, and it requires you to have enough time and money to do all of these extracurricular activities to get into the university that you want, and a whole myriad of other issues and the scholarships that you might need if you wanted to get in, because it's, again, really expensive.
Well, your party, the Greens, have committed to restoring free fees, saying it'll make it a priority in coalition negotiations. That should pull some student votes from Otago, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the hope. That's definitely the hope, and that's the angle that Fran's taking. You want to speak?
Yes, we've got a wonderful candidate running for Dunedin, Francisco Hernandez. Wonderful guy, Fran, may
I know,
Fran.
We've interviewed him on this program.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And he's definitely taking a lot of the concerns we students have to Parliament, which I think is a great thing. Having that that voice in government is definitely a net positive.
Yeah, his angle is, as the tertiary representative for the Greens and as someone who was OUSA president, is basically the university tertiary education system should be fees-free because it needs to be accessible to everyone. It's a right.
Maybe one of you should stand for president, because it seems to me that when you look at OUSA presidents, there was Grant Robertson, Rachel Brooking, Aisha Verrill, and I think Francisco was a former president too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, yeah.
Why are you a member of the Greens? What's your philosophy, Petra?
My philosophy is people who are, again, just left-leaning, and then also who are going to say the things that no one else wants to say and be just a little bit more ballsy and say, listen, this is what needs to change and here's how we're going to do it.
Right. And Luke, what's your philosophy about the Greens? Why, for example, are you in the Greens rather than maybe the Labor Party?
That's a great question. I always felt drawn to the Green Party because I'm a big nature guy. I've always loved getting out in nature, getting out in the bush, or going down to the beach, or all that kind of stuff. The Greens always I always felt drawn to them because they always had the strongest environmental policies out there, and that was really my focus when I first joined up with the Greens, just environmental stuff. But as I spent more time there, it really opened my eyes to a lot of other inequities in society and a lot of the social justice movements within the Green Party. That it just really opened my eyes to how interconnected all these different problems are.
Yeah,
it's
people get very worked up about the Green Party. It could be argued unfairly. Sometimes it seems to be an almost open season on the Greens. Even though you are the only party that always shows the costs of what you're proposing, Do you think the Greens are treated fairly better?
I think that a lot of the time what the treatment of the Greens comes from is just this fear of actually taking action. And when the Greens say, listen, we have this plan, this is how much it's going to cost, here's what we're going to do, like the proposed budget of 2025, when you look at it, you can read through, you can be like, okay, wow, this is really comprehensive. People get like scared. They're like, oh, so this is how much this is going to cost. Obviously, it's all here, but what they hear is, so this is all the changes that are going to happen. And those sound like they're going to be big and they're going to cost a lot of money and they're going to shake a lot of things up. And they're also, again, taking that, oh, they're just nature-loving hippies, which is, okay, cool. We like to protect nature so that we can protect the people. What about it?
If you look objectively at the history of progressive parties, they're always attacked. They're always, described as being crazy and so on. But then they bring change, and that change is usually good. And people take those good things without realizing the people who started out the whole idea were attacked and attacked, like the Greens. Do you feel like that sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I think sometimes people who are a little bit ahead of the ball or ahead of the curve, to say, they are the first ones to be attacked. And then some white man will take up that idea and relay it, and it'll be the most amazing thing ever.
White men?
Often. In power.
Sometimes it looks as though your generation will be worse off than your parents. In other words, it's not getting better, is it?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, especially, and if we have to do, for a lot of us, we just have to open, say, Instagram, TikTok, any social media platform really, and just see, doesn't take much to see all the stuff that's happening around the world, what's happening in Palestine, Iran, just global, just, it's pretty scary out there for a lot of people. And a lot of people, they're just really like, what's the point anymore? There's not, just everything just doesn't really seems pretty hopeless at the moment. Not much point in fighting for it anymore.
And it can seem pretty hopeless living in this economy too if you're a young person, because the older generations usually could buy the average home living on the average wage. Mm. The university fees were paid. There were things like the state advances corporations that gave them cheap mortgage money. All those things are gone. Does that make you feel a bit depressed, Petra?
Depressed, no, but angry, yes, because they're basically putting, I think I liked the way that, I think it was Chloe who put it yesterday, balancing the books onto the students, what they're basically doing, and onto the young people. It's like an attack on the youth. What we're doing is we're taking all of the money that the national government wants to save, we're taking all of the decisions, and we're just basically saying, cool, load it onto the young people, they've got time to sort it out.
And of course, when you get into the business of wanting to buy a house, these days you're going to have to save $50,000, $100,000. It seems a huge mountain to climb, doesn't it?
Yeah, and to be honest, I've resigned to the idea that I might be renting forever, which sounds pretty hopeless to most people, but I'm either going to go in on a property with my siblings because I've got two siblings, or I'm going to not.
Luke, because of all those things and the way things have changed, do you feel any sort of dislike of the older generation, or a bit angry about it?
Yes and no. I do. I do feel a bit frustrated that our parents and our grandparents got access to all these different avenues to help them get a head start in life, and a lot of us are just saying we're not asking for more. We just really want the same as what you guys had. And seems to be a lot of the older folks getting a bit up in arms about, like, oh, you guys are asking for handouts and all that kind of stuff. But I'm definitely an optimist. I always like to see the better side. Always hoping that there's going to be a sunny day ahead. And but I think that I do think that there is change on the horizon, especially. And as my thing is more of my generation realizes, hang on, this isn't really that fair at all. These guys got this stuff, but we can't. What's up with that? I do believe that there can be, I do believe in that there's good and there's going to be change in the future.
Well, it's interesting you're so positive, because about 15% of those between the ages of 18 and 25 are not in training or jobs. And of course, it's worse for Māori and Pacifica. Mm. Things really don't seem to be getting better, do they?
No. No, they don't. That's a very good point. I guess I am from quite a nice family. I have had a lot of luxury in life, and I think you're absolutely correct on that. I do think my positivity does come from I have been in a position of privilege in society, and I thank you for helping me recognize that. Completely agree with you on that.
Petra, why are you studying ecology?
It started out because I wanted to be a dock ranger. I really did not want to study. I didn't want to go to university. I was one of the people who finished high school, like, thank God, never going back. And now I'm here really enjoying it. And I'm planning to do postgrad, so.
Right. And would you eventually become a ranger, do you think?
I'm actually uncertain about that from the things that I've learned being in university. I feel like working for the Department of Conservation at the moment wouldn't be the 100% best idea. I think potentially if I was going to be a ranger, it might be overseas.
Right. And what about you, Luke? Why did you get involved in ecology?
I've always just loved nature. I've just always loved getting out of it. I just also growing up, just seeing about reading all the stuff about how a lot of our birds and that wildlife have been under threat from mammalian predators, deforestation. I think that really galvanized me as a kid to just, I want to do something. I want to help out native Taonga. I also want to live in a world where, say, if my grandkids don't have to go to a zoo or a sanctuary, just see like kokakos, kiwis, kakas. They can just walk out into their backyard. And I think we actually are seeing a bit of that at the moment, especially around here locally in Otipoti. I've seen far more than where I live in Auckland, like Koremako's bellbirds, kereroos. And also I'd say especially they've done fantastic work in Tonganuiatara, Wellington, especially with the native bird, with the great work that's been done at Zealandia, that we've seen some fantastic urban reintroductions of native species.
I can underline that. I used to live in Wellington and right across the other side of the city from Zealandia, and suddenly we started seeing tuis and wood pigeons and so on. It works, doesn't it?
Oh, no, it absolutely does. My grandparents used to live in Karori, which about 5 minutes or so from Zealandia, and we'd often get kereroo in the front yard tree. We'd see kaka coming in, stripping the bark off outside the kitchen windows. It was great. And I do have hopes we can see that in large in areas like, and definitely and hopefully more in places in my home city of Auckland.
Right. Petra, during your lifetime, you'll see the full effects of global warming. Does it worry you?
1,000%. And I think university has also taught me just how drastic and severe the effects will be to everyone on this planet, not just in regards to wildlife, but also to the people.
And what about the government's record on the environment, protecting our species, our native forests, and looking after global warming and so on? What do you think about its record?
Personally, I'm not going to mince my words. I think it's pretty bloody atrocious, especially with the Fast Track Bill, the Resource Management Act, which is basically giving private corporations free way to basically make as much money with little regard to the environment as possible.
Now, a survey by the Otago University student newspaper Critic showed that 51% of students supported Greens and only about 20% Labor. Sounds like you lot have got a lot of support there.
I would say so. We had a very good this was back in 2024 when we were lucky enough to have Chloe at the university's reorientation week, and we got fantastic traction there. It was almost like a little mini whirlpool of people just all circling around it. It was fantastic traction. And I do believe you want to take over, Petra?
Yeah, of course I can. I just think that is pretty much the vibe with the university space, where people tend to be more progressive. It is a common trend among places of tertiary education, probably part of the reason why the government doesn't want us engaging in it, to be honest.
You know, the current government's taken the subsidies off electric cars, slapped a road tax on them, wants to abolish regional councils who keep our rivers clean, and is now blocking people from suing corporations who are polluting. Bad stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I would just like to say on the regard with the regional councils, I know that the regional councils are one of the biggest promoters of management plans for the environment. And then on top of that, they're just basically saving money in ways that they can build up all of these rich corporations and tear down everyone else in New Zealand, including the environment, which so many people rely on.
Have you been following the fact that there are bad nitrates discharged into water in Southland, and that Environment Southland, which is its regional council, is obscuring the fact?
I think I read this very briefly this morning. I glossed over it and I didn't read into the full details.
You've been listening to Petra Campbell and Luke McLeod, two Otago University students who are active in the Green Party. I'm Bill Southworth. In our next program, which goes live on Monday, June the 15th at 3 p.m, and which can be picked up as a podcast, we will be asking a left-wing MP about their reaction to Nicola Willis's budget. Thanks for listening to this edition of Leaning Left. If you'd like to hear further episodes in this series, you'll find Leaning Left on Otago Access Radio's website, oar.org.nz, and from your favourite podcast platforms.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.